Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are just as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They're milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hello, and welcome back to the At Betches podcast. I'm Jordana Abraham.
I'm Sammy Sage.
I don't know why I said Abraham.
Probably because on You Up, you say it.
I'm all jumbled up on which podcast I'm currently on.
Well, I could start screaming if you want, and I can be Jared here. Just start ranting. What's going on today, Jordana?
How's your dating life, Sammy?
It's very, very exciting.
I'm sure.
So we have so much to talk about. Well, first, what's up? What's going on?
I have nothing interesting. What about you?
We have Friendsgiving dinner. I thought you were going to say that.
Oh, it's tonight. I don't know. Do they care about that? Anyone listening? Not really.
I mean, it's a comment, you know, it's just, That's what's going. It's just casual combo.
Yeah.
You know, we're so meta on this, constantly analyzing our early banter.
I like talking about our personal lives when there's something interesting, but.
So do I, but it, you know, it doesn't have to like start interesting, but like maybe it becomes interesting, you know?
Yeah, perhaps.
I do feel like. I wonder, do people want to hear about the dumb shit that we're up to, or do you want to hear?
I think if it's like actually fun and clowny, not like, oh, we're going to a dinner together later.
Well, like, okay. I'm doing something fun, not necessarily clowny. I'm going to the Vice President's Hanukkah party on Sunday in Washington, D.C. Fun. So that's pretty clowny, I guess.
Do you have to bring something to?
Oh my God, Avi asked that. He was like, should we bring a gift? I'm like, I don't know if that's like even legal or where do you put it? Like, I don't know. Seems
right.
Weird.
I don't think it's a potluck.
Should I bring gifts?
I have a feeling it's not a potluck.
Well, yeah, I don't think so. I think it's more like, you know, I don't know. I have no idea what it's like. I will let you know when
I'm sure it's catered.
Yeah. You think Kamala fried the latkes
up in the kitchen, just like slaving away all day just to try to like make sure that there's enough latkes for 300 people or however many people are invited.
Perfect. Maybe she's just at the frying pan the whole time. You know, she's just keep them fresh. I don't know. Latkes. I take latkes very seriously. So I hope that they're good and I will report back.
Let us know. Bring some back. Stuff some in your purse.
I was about to say, like, could you imagine me walking out of the vice president's house with like greasy napkins filled with latkes
stuffed in your expensive purses?
I'm planning to bring a too small purse to be sneaking latkes out.
That's a shame.
Yeah. Well, okay. Anyway, there's lots to talk about. There's just so much going on. We have the Betch of the Year. We have the Person of the Year. We have the Word of the Year. What else is going on?
Those are the main things. And then we've got some other little clowny things to talk about also besides that.
There are a lot of clowny little headlines happening.
Yeah. And I want to talk about May, December.
Oh, loved.
Also.
Loved. That is a high priority for me right now.
But let's talk about that at the end. Let's talk about Betch of the Year.
Okay. Did you see Mark Zuckerberg commented on our post saying that he
is honored to be nominated
for the feud of the year against Elon Musk? I mean, definitely he's winning that fight. If not that, I don't know about that category. It's a tough category because we also had Gwyneth Paltrow in that category and versus her ski crash victim. That was a tough category. Hailey Bieber versus Selena for their eyebrow, whatever, fight. Obviously, that's not winning in my mind. Reality Reckoning, Bethany Frankel versus Bravo, and the fight over who's living La Dolce Vita between Courtney and Kim. Who do you think won?
You know who I think won? I think Eyebrowgate won, and here's why. I think Eyebrowgate won because that was our most listened to and shared episode of the entire year on this podcast, At Betches Podcast.
Okay, so we could have it win from that perspective.
I'm just saying, clearly, this is important to our audience.
Yes, this is. Okay, I think fair. I wouldn't agree that that's the feud of the year. I think the feud of the year is Gwyneth and the ski victim or Courtney versus Kim?
I definitely don't think it's Courtney versus Kim. The ski victim thing was like clowny, but I wouldn't say that was like an exciting, like who, like I wasn't very invested in who wound up winning that one.
I wasn't really invested in who wound up winning any of these. I mean, I guess I would say I was most invested in Bethany's reality reckoning.
Yeah, that was the most one I was most interested to see. I don't know. What are the criteria?
I don't know. We need to make a rubric or something. You know, it's just the fun of the game of discussing it.
I do think Gwyneth Paltrow won the inspirational quote of the year.
Oh, yeah. Let's do inspirational quote of the year. We have by Gwyneth Paltrow, "I lost half a day of skiing." From James Kennedy, "You're a worm with a mustache." From Logan Roy, "You're not serious people." Jennifer Lawrence, "What do you mean? Is that how she said it?"
I don't even know what that's from.
Know it visually. It was when she went on Hot Ones and she's like tearing up.
What is Hot Ones?
That show where you have to eat like hot stuff while you answer questions.
I've never even heard of that
pop
show.
Pop culture podcast.
She loses. She loses. I've never heard of that show. Yeah.
I don't consider that to be the quote of the year. And Beyonce, she ain't no diva. What do you think?
I lost half a day of skiing. I also thought the quote was going to be, "I wish you well."
I think "I lost half a day of skiing" is more of an earworm.
I guess.
You know?
Yeah.
"I wish you well" is funny, but like the fact that she answered to the lawyer, like, "What were the consequences of this to you?"
And she's not even a full day. It's true.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, "You're a worm with a mustache." Talk about something that can play in your head. "You're not serious people." I love that line.
Again, I wouldn't have known about that line if no one told me.
I feel
me.
Like Aileen would vote for that.
Probably.
I think I have to vote for "You're a worm with a mustache." No, I don't really support that. "I lost half a day skiing" is my line.
Okay. What about the scandal of the year?
Okay. So that category, we have Jen Shah and Elizabeth Holmes becoming BFFs in prison. Scandoval, of course. Justin Timberlake getting blown up in Britney Spears' memoir. Scooter Braun's mysterious disappearing clients. And SpongeBob cheating on his wife with Ariana Grande.
Okay, I think Scandoval takes the cake. That was like I'm still not recovered. That was like a storm.
Yeah, it's still developing.
Yeah.
I haven't even opened the sandwich shop yet. I was like ready to invest.
I think they're selling merch in advance, but yeah.
Okay, well, I want a sandwich.
Let's do one more category.
Okay, fine. Which one do you want?
Let's do Fever Dream Couple of the Year.
Okay. Kylie and Timothée Chalamet. Okay. Kendall Jenner and Bad Bunny, Ariana Grande and SpongeBob, Tyga and Avril Lavigne, Emily Emrata and Eric Andre.
How did Taylor and Travis not make this list?
Because they're not a fever dream. They're just
what does a fever dream mean?
I think it's like, what the fuck? It's like those two people are dating.
Okay, like surprising.
Yeah.
I kind of think the Ariana Grande one is the most surprising.
I agree completely. Yeah. Completely. Second, I would give Kylie and Timothée.
Agreed.
But yeah, no, that was fun. Let us know what you think.
Can they still vote?
No, we're not voting this year. Oh. We're going to be instituting voting next year. This year, we decided by committee at Betches. We all voted internally. And we'll be announcing the winners on Monday. So be sure to check Betches.com and see who won.
Check it out.
Around the office, we have so many colorful framed art prints and photos. It creates such a fun atmosphere, and it gives our space that unique Betches character. I wanted to frame some stuff at home too, but custom framing can be so difficult and so expensive. So the things I want to display end up collecting dust in a closet. But Framebridge makes it easy and affordable to get your special artwork and memories in frames so you can spice up your space with ease. I love Framebridge. I framed my ketubah for my wedding. The process was unbelievably easy. They send you a canister to send in your artwork. They send you a few different options of ways that they can frame it. You get to pick. They're actually helping me also design the frame that works best with the picture and best for my home. And getting custom frames can be difficult. Framebridge is easy and affordable to custom frame just about anything. You can easily order online at framebridge.com or visit a retail store if you need some guidance. You can also upload a digital photo for them to print or mail your item in using their free, secure, prepaid packaging. Then Framebridge custom frames your piece in the studio using the highest quality materials and ships it to your door in days for free. See why Framebridge has been trusted to frame over 2 million pieces. Visit framebridge.com or a local Framebridge
store to get started and custom frame just about anything. That's framebridge.com. For years, I've been using men's razors because the quality of razors for women is seriously questionable. But disposable men's razors feel like settling. I finally tried the Athena Club razor I've been seeing online, and it was truly the easiest, smoothest shave ever. My old razors, honestly, they would rust up so quickly, and the shave I would get was so dull. My legs would get super dry. It would just be like an uncomfortable razor experience. But this razor is truly worth the hype. If you haven't tried it, you really need to give it a shot. Step up your shaving game now with Athena Club's award-winning razor kit. It's seriously the best on the market, and here's why. First of all, the Athena Club razor kit is an absolute steal at just $10. But don't let the price fool you. This razor packs a serious punch. It comes with a beautifully made ergonomic handle and two super sharp razor heads that deliver an incredibly smooth shave every time. You also get a game-changing magnetic hook in the razor kit for easy storage. This means no sitting your razor on the edge of your tub, no more goopy blades, no more razor falling down your shower floor in the middle of the night. Athena Club's razor glides effortlessly thanks to those five precision-engineered blades. The blades are perfectly spaced out to let your hair pass through with each stroke, and you'll experience less irritation, which is always a win in my book. Are you ready to upgrade your shaving experience? Switch to the best razor on the market and show your skin you care with Athena Club. Head over to athenaclub.com to try their award-winning razor and body products and get 20% off your purchase with code BETCHES at checkout. You can also find Athena Club razors at your local Target store. Trust me, you won't look back. Happy shaving.
Oxford's new word of the year is Riz, which it's so funny because Jared and I went through these dating terms, I think, at the beginning of the year. And we were like, this one's made up. No one says this.
I remember that episode.
Joke's on us.
I mean, you know, what now? Once something becomes the word of the year, it's over. So don't even worry about Riz anymore. It's off fleek.
It's off fleek. Okay.
Yeah. I actually threaded that exact sentiment.
Well,
I said,
Sammy, in true to form me, now that it's the word of the year, I'll start using it now that it's done.
Yeah. I think try using it in a sentence.
That guy just, you know, has all the riz.
You know, it would be so funny. You know, like instead of a spelling bee, it should be like a millennial Gen Z slang bee. And you have to like...
Your parents have to use this stuff. Yeah.
And it's like you, it's like anyone over the age of, I don't know, 30 has to like hear a brand new, like trending word and compete in who like knows what it means and then like can use it in a sentence.
Riz is just charisma. It's not a new word.
That's exactly
the
point.
It's just a shortened version of a word that already exists. It's an abbreviation.
Yeah. It's something that I feel like it's something I would say as a joke.
You know. I guess, but I just think like, why not just, I don't say charisma so much that I need a fucking abbreviation for it.
Okay. You're betraying our roots. Like when we were early days, like we were talking, we love abbreves. Don't you want to get some tie PM?
I'm not saying it shouldn't exist. I just don't understand why it is the word of the year.
I don't know. Maybe Riz had a great PR team. Like I don't fucking know. They had lobbyists or something.
Okay. The word of the year in 2022 was goblin mode, which is
so
stupid.
So it's more of like a term of the year.
Yeah. And okay, goblin 2021 mode. Word of the year is vax. Makes sense.
Okay.
2020. Oh, maybe I'm looking at the wrong thing. I think it depends who you ask what the word of the year was.
Which dictionary? Oxford and Merriam-Webster probably have different opinions.
I'm asking Google. Yeah, I don't know. All right.
Honestly, these things are not that important, we say, as we just voted for our Betches of the Year. But that's the thing. It's a joke.
It's
who cares?
Fun. Right.
Yeah,
we're just having
fun. You're just having so much fun. So much riz over here. Okay. I mean, the other person of the year, we're bringing on Holly because she is our TS correspondent. And who's happier than Holly about this time person
Taylor
of the year?
Time person of the year. You know, the time person of the year is not always like a good person, though. I do have to say.
True. That's true. Sometimes it's like an idea even.
Once it was you, like collective you.
So we've all been time person of the year. You ain't special, Taylor.
Yeah, Sailor. We've already been person of the year, but I'm pretty sure Hitler was the time person of the year in 1938. But it's Taylor's time to shine.
What does that say? Wait, let's look into this. Hold on.
It's true. 1938. I just saw this on like an article. 1938. Oh my God. Adolf Hitler, person of the year. Oh God.
That's so fucked. Why would they do that? What was the article like?
I don't know. I'm sure he didn't have this photo shoot.
No, it was, it's like a picture of like the German, I don't know. I'm going to analyze this much, much later. Anyway, that's not great.
But anyway, I mean, I'm not to take that away from Taylor. I'm excited for her.
Well, really, you're just bringing the mood up a lot today.
You know.
Okay, so this is exciting. Holly, tell us, what was your reaction to her being Person of the Year? And we got to talk about this article. What did you think?
So many things, so many thoughts. She covered so many things. Like, this was one of her biggest interviews we've had in years from her. Like, it was also very long.
She spilled a lot of information.
She did. So
I was surprised. Were you surprised?
Yeah, some of it. But there were some things that I was proven right about, which we'll get to, especially regarding Travis. But like the biggest highlights were, one, how she trained for the Eras Tour, the toll it took on her body, the Kim and Kanye of it all, the infamous phone call, Scooter Braun buying her masters, and obviously her relationship with Travis. So she covered, what's the phrase? No stone was left untouched. No infinity stone, because she's saying she's collecting her masters like infinity stones, which people were saying that was very millennial of her, like a lot of the phrases she used.
Oh, she's fully a cringe millennial, as anyone totally. Born in 1989 is bound to be, because we are the center of it all. We're not using Riz. It's not rolling off the tongue, Riz.
And she described Travis reaching out to her as metal.
How does it, like, she's surprised that her publicist was not like a little bit more on top of this interview. Like, I'm glad we have it. I think it's interesting. And I agree with like a lot of her takes in it. But I do feel like it's not like, if I'm a publicist, I would try to have controlled this interview a little bit more. I think.
Oh my God. No, if I'm a publicist, this was perfect. Because you guys feel like she didn't leave any stones unturned. There are a lot of stones that I would want to ask her about that she did not leave unturned. However, the way she spoke was very frank. And I think that sort of covered up that there were things that were not discussed. And here's the thing, like, I thought it was just fun to read. I didn't feel like there was that much that it was more like, in my mind, like confirming things that we kind of already thought or had a sense of. And it's just, you're hearing her say it very frankly. So it feels very revealing, but there was nothing like actually that revealing about it. Like, it was just very specific.
I'm surprised she said the thing about like taking the trash, shaking itself out.
Oh, I loved that.
Explicitly saying Kim Kardashian, what, like full out saying the names.
I'm not that surprised. Of course she, like that, of course, it just, I'm it not felt surprised.
A little,
that she said
the interview
that.
Felt a little, I don't know, it just felt a little messy. Like, not that's a bad thing. I'm just saying, like, I was like, she's not necessarily taking the high road in the interview. I'm not saying she should. But she didn't. But
it's so funny. You didn't think it. You thought she was like, what would taking the high road have looked like?
Just not even talking about that. Mm-hmm. Like asking her publicist, saying to the publicist, I don't want to talk about that.
I guess like it had to do, like the Kim and Kanye of it all had to do with her going into hiding for 6 years. So I guess.
And why she did the masters.
It's funny that she says it was like her. She went into hiding because I kind of just assumed that she was just like deciding to become more private. I didn't, because she kept releasing music. I wasn't like, oh, she's like
right, never to out. Be seen again. Yeah.
She's still here. Like, I was just kind of like, oh, she's, you know, she had a lot of public relationships. She had a lot of public things. She did have a lot of media backlash. She's decided, you know, she wants this relationship to be really private. And I thought, like, that's what I assumed. I didn't assume she was like retreating from the world personally.
I think for 1 year she actually did, because that was when she was in England with him. So I guess that statement is a little vague, saying 6 years she disappeared, because like she was recording slowly music. Emerging, but maybe she just meant about her relationships and not music, because we obviously got Folklore, we got Evermore.
I feel like what she means is like Taylor's, and this is what we've been saying, why people think like her relationship has a professional dimension. Because she chooses when she wants to be seen or not. And when she says, I was in hiding for 6 years, what I think she means is like, I chose not to be seen. And now I'm choosing to allow myself to be seen. And that for her is probably like a really, really different experience. Whereas for us, we're just seeing images, like, or not seeing them. But for her, it's like, okay, do you like function sort of in stealth, private, or are, and like, it's a choice for her to, for example, walk from her door to her car. She doesn't need to do that. She can go into her garage and like not do that. She can have people come in a back entrance. She can not, she can find a way to get into all these places without being seen, but she chooses to allow herself to be seen. And that's part of her decisions.
Right. To me, it kind of reads like she's always been someone who's actually really enjoyed being seen.
Yes.
She, right. When she it. Wasn't, right. Yeah. When she went into hiding, like when she went away, it seems like it was partially, it was big part of it was maybe like the privacy of this relationship that she wanted to. But that seems like maybe she thought she could become that person, but she actually prefers to be in the public eye a lot more.
I think that's definitely true. And also, it wasn't, like, it was smart. It actually coincided with it being a smart PR strategy for her to kind of go away, focus on her art, not have things be so focused on like what restaurant she's going to, because ultimately that's not why people care about Taylor Swift. People care about Taylor Swift because of her music, or like people care about her for a lot of reasons. But I think the thing that really draw, like keeps people attached to her is how amazing her music is. And I think the fact that people kind of like wanted her to go away, like she was the original cancellation. She was canceled before.
Was that pre? Yeah.
Pre, yeah.
Pre Me Too, yeah.
Yeah, like there was no, yeah. She was the first like real viral cancellation other than, you know, Kony 2012, but that was a different era entirely.
She was canceled? I don't think of her as being canceled.
Yeah, there was a hashtag, I mean, Taylor Swift is canceled
is
party,
over.
And it was the number one trending
spamming
hashtag.
Spamming her with snakes. Oh. I mean, and then that's what led to her reputation era, obviously, but people
were. Every like comment on Kim's awful profile was just snakes, and like every, it was everywhere. Like,
you mean Taylor?
Yeah.
But I want to hear Kim's response.
But now now people are spamming Kim's comments.
If Kim's smart, she'll shut the
I want to see Kim's response.
I'm curious.
Well, Kim is someone who's never not been in the public eye. So I would, now she like owes us a response here, because she's never been, that's the thing with, it's nice to retreat from the public eye, because when you don't want to comment on something, then you're not like obligated to, because you're not someone who's commenting or someone who's out there. But Kim has never been that person, so I feel like we're owed a response.
Kim's behavior has annoyed me so much in the past few years, like since the drama with her and Taylor, because like she'll still listen to Taylor's music and it'll sometimes pop up like in a TikTok or an Instagram story of her in North, and I'm like,
were the Kardashians at the Eras Tour?
No.
No. No one. None of them. Because that's weird, because you would think
that
again,
we
biggest,
saw.
Biggest
that we
tour.
Saw.
Right. But if they were there, they would want you to see. Clear.
Exactly.
Someone would have shown them there, I think.
They could have been in a box.
I know Penelope is a, I think she's a Swiftie, or at least like likes her music.
I'm sure she is. She's, what is she, 10?
Yes.
She's a 10-year-old girl. I don't think you can be a 10-year-old girl in America and not want to go to Taylor Swift.
I'm
concert.
Sure they wanted to, but I definitely think that was probably a PR move from their team, because all of them went to Beyonce's tour.
Right.
In
so
the
clearly
LA tour.
That was like,
yeah. It's possible they were in a box that just hidden up away.
I feel like we would have known.
I think someone would have.
Because that
would have
broke the internet if someone of Kim's family, whether it was her or her kids or.
Yeah. And Taylor would have known. That's the other thing. There's no way Taylor wouldn't know if they were at her concert.
True.
There's no way that she wouldn't have known.
She could smell it. She would know.
Yeah.
Listen, we all know that scratchy PJs can make a cranky kid. I want my kids to be comfy when they sleep and are rested in the morning, and that's why I snuggle them up in Little Sleepies. Little Sleepies makes award-winning bamboo PJs that moms rave about. I am said mom. I am obsessed with Little Sleepies. They are so, so, so soft. I just got one that was the Checkmates Zippy for my son Lucas. It's so adorable. And it's limited edition, so everybody go check it out. Little Sleepies Zip Romper Pajamas, aka Zippies, the ones that I got, were designed with thoughtful details like fold-over feet, mittens, and a double zipper to make the middle of the night diaper changes easier. Made from the buttery soft custom milled Luna Luxe bamboo viscose, their zip footy pajamas are gentle on sensitive skin and babies with eczema. But what parents rave about the most? how long they fit. And Little Sleepies makes the best baby shower gift. They have inclusive sizing from preemie to adults 3X. There are also nursing and pregnancy-friendly styles available for adults. So try a pair of Little Sleepies today. Fair warning, you'll never go back. You can try Little Sleepies for yourself by visiting littlesleepies.com. Plus, get 15% off your order on littlesleepies.com with code BETCHES. That's littlesleepies.com with promo code BETCHES.
This is maybe a good time for me to bring up my theory that Taylor Swift and Kim Kardashian occupy the full spectrum of good and evil in celebrity world. Taylor obviously being the good side of the spectrum and Kim being anchoring the bad side.
I really think they're both almost like in this weird, I don't think of Taylor as so pure. Like I don't mean pure.
And here's the
thing, I don't mean pure.
You said good and evil.
Of celebrities. I know, but I'm just saying, like, Taylor has, and this is something I actually like about her, she has a thirst for revenge. That's not like so blindly good.
We're talking about, we're looking at different definitions. I don't know any of these people and to know their hearts. I'm talking about like image wise. Like,
I know, I'm saying image wise, yeah. She has a song called Vigilante Shit.
Like, yeah, but that's,
she's not,
but,
like, that's her image, is her image is a little bit of revenge. This interview is a little bit of revenge.
But getting revenge for a justified reason is, she was wrong, she wants to get back.
I don't know, it's not like, I wouldn't call it like so pure.
I never said pure.
You said good. Like, you said good versus evil, that implies pure.
I don't think so. That's not what I mean. What I mean is, like, we're talking about just the way that they, and we're also not talking about like actually like saints. You know, we're talking about celebrities who function as celebrities, who do the messy things that celebrities do, and like the vibe of them. Like Kim Kardashian is just like, yeah. And Taylor's like, you know, sunshine.
Yeah, I feel like Taylor always takes the high road and Kim just gets, I think her being
Taylor's
with Kanye.
Taking the high road?
Yeah, I just,
why
think,
is it not like, the high road to talk about, to set, to like talk,
to talk about
a big thing
that happened
to you
6 years ago with naming and saying when Kim did that? She didn't even call it like the incident. She gave specifics.
She re-recorded her masters because of that. That's why this is up for discussion. And the reason she's person of the year is because she re-recorded her masters and went on the Eras tour. It's not like she's just like randomly this year. It's because of this project where she like tried to get her work back, which is really groundbreaking. And now all these record labels are trying to stop artists from doing that. And it's just, it's not, I think it's relevant to this conversation, not just like her posting an Instagram story.
I wouldn't say she's the person who takes the high road. That's not how I would describe her.
I would not either. I would not say she takes the high road.
Didn't you just say that?
I didn't say she takes the high road. Holly said she takes the high road.
I did.
Oh, sorry.
It's not about taking the high road. It's about this image of like a more positive influence as a celebrity than, and also again, more Taylor's not taking revenge for like little stupid shit. She's taking revenge for this very significant thing. But also I agree, like revenge isn't the best, but it's at least justified revenge.
That's what I mean. Like, high road, not necessarily meaning like she's an angel and it's always the most positive, but I just feel like she always comes off classier in whatever revenge she's getting or clarification that she's doing on a situation. I feel like she comes off classier than Kim. I don't know.
I mean, Kim's, that was what I would say that's fair. Kim definitely not
a little slimy.
Like Taylor has talent. That's the other piece of this is like Taylor's a celebrity for her talent. Kim is famously a celebrity, not for her talent. That's part of this spectrum.
Here's the real. Who do you think Beyonce sides with in this feud? That's all I care about.
Taylor.
You think?
I think Beyonce knows that Kim's. Like, I don't believe that Beyonce really fucks with Kim as much as Kim wishes that she would. And I think Beyonce and Taylor have like a mutual respect of like
as the two
I'll fuck
leaders
with you.
In the industry. Really?
I threaded something like that and people went fucking crazy. Like just, you should see their responses. No,
why?
Just a range of just, it was very responded to. I wrote, how mad do you think it makes Kim Kardashian that Taylor Swift is specifically the one person who Beyonce regards as like her living artistic equal.
Yeah.
And
sorry,
some
Kim.
People were like, yes. And other people were like, Beyonce doesn't regard anyone as her equal. Kim doesn't care. I'm like, okay, well, Kim definitely cares.
Sammy, I'm curious, what were the topics you think she didn't go too deep on?
I think she didn't really address any of the things that like her fans want to hold her to like a certain standard about. And I don't necessarily think these things are important, but it's notable how they were not included. Like one thing among it would be like carbon emissions and like the Ticketmaster stuff, like her becoming a billionaire, like even putting that, like her own reaction to it. Also the voting stuff, like what does she feel on that metric? Like that was all just very clearly avoided, even though she had an entire documentary that she made about it. And
she chose to focus on the stuff that was like a little bit more to her, like
surface level
revenge scheme.
Well, that made it very, okay. And again, she's a celebrity. She's not like an activist. That's the other piece. Is like,
right. Well, that's, yeah.
But she does try to play on
what does it mean to be metal as hell?
Like,
I know, I was like, what is this?
I think it means like kind of like cool.
That is giving her these terms. What I don't even know what that means. Jack, what does it mean?
I think it means like that was like almost brave, but like tough of him. Bold.
I'm Googling it.
Bold of him.
There's a Cut article that says Taylor Swift thinks Travis Kelce is metal as hell.
Okay, I just have to say some of these headlines are killing me. Like, it is not a headline that Taylor Swift calls him Trav. It is not a headline that he calls her Tay. It is not a headline that someone liked to post.
Me putting it as the topics.
According to Urban Dictionary, the phrase is akin to saying that something is so metal, implying that it's so hardcore that can only be compared to metal, the music, that is.
Yeah, like referring to like metal, but it hardcore is a perfect word. Like bold.
I agree with you that a lot of these were topics that we already kind of knew the answers to. But I think it still goes back to Taylor like never confirms anything. So it was slightly refreshing just to hear how certain stories went down. Like I knew she and Travis had met before. I knew it. And I can't remember
We did know that. Like we knew that.
Did you? I can't remember if you agreed with me or not. Because I was like, they've definitely been dating for longer. And you're like.
No, I told you that they had 100%. That we knew that they had met. I didn't know if it had been more than once or twice, but we 100% knew that they met. I like that she put those things on the record, but I also feel like she only put them on the record because she knew she was in a position that she could put them on the record. And also because Cotton is in a position that's like really bad. It's like, what are you going to side with that guy? Trash takes itself out every time. But yeah, no, I thought it was a really good interview. I really, really loved it. I'm very excited.
What did you think of the photos?
I thought the photos were metal as hell.
Yeah. Very rep coded. Even though clown makeup
She's
is going back
riz.
On.
She's got the riz.
Taylor Swift has the riz. That's the title.
Yeah. Everyone has their clown makeup on again thinking, oh, it's going to get announced today. One day it's going to be a day no one knows. I didn't think it was really happening.
If you
I never
have the riz... Like only someone who, only a millennial who would never say the word riz would have the riz.
I would, yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
Like just by using it, you don't have it.
Correct.
Sammy, when do you think we're getting Reputation announced then? I thought it was going to be today. I genuinely, the photo shoot was very Reputation coded.
I have no idea. I'm not into like the math of her. I'm not like one of those math people who's like counting the fucking days between shit. My analysis of Taylor Swift comes from the lyrics and like press about what she says she's up to or what she doesn't say she's up to, and that's my kind of read on her.
How long do you guys think Travis and Taylor will be together? Predictions
forever.
You're hearing
Holly's
them now.
He's gonna say forever.
December 7th. Yeah. You're gonna say forever. They're gonna die in each other's arms forever.
I mean, whoa. You hope
the rest of their lives they're gonna be together.
I could see it being Endgame, I can.
Okay. Endgame could... I see them being Endgame, but I still think 15 years.
15 years?
So you
years?
Think they'll get married, but then divorce?
You don't think that's a lot?
I think that's so long. Oh my
God. Holly thinks forever.
I could see them getting married, having children.
10 years. 10 to 15.
Okay. I give it three.
Okay.
Oh. I give it three. And then when this relationship is over, Travis will be the new Pete Davidson.
Okay. So you're working on a very different timeline than we are.
That is my prediction.
I'm like,
and these are all predictions, 12/7/2023.
Okay.
We'll see where we are in 3 years.
Well, it's kind of hard.
To the rest of Taylor's life.
It's kind of hard with Holly. Like, you know, we could outlive this prediction.
Do you know how many Hollywood romances last forever? Like one. Okay. Like, well, like literally one.
Then I'll stay positive just by saying like at least like married with kids well into.
Okay.
You like think like 50s. 25, Meryl Streep, Don Gummer.
Tom Hanks and Rita Wilson are the only couple I know that is married in Hollywood that has been married for a very long time.
Okay. I still stand by my guess. I'm putting it in like the 10 to 20 range.
Okay.
But really closer to like 15.
Sean, type your answer. I want to see what you think too. Sorry.
Should we do an office-wide poll?
Ooh, yes. And then you could win something. That would be fun.
You have to still be here, maybe in forever.
John Sammy, says 5 years. Okay.
Do you see like kids?
5 more years.
Kids in marriage in 15 years, Sammy? Because then we're on the same page with that. That like at least they're each other's.
I see marriage in like 16 minutes. Like,
oh, they might get married. I could still see them getting married, but I don't think they're gonna last.
You see them getting married and only lasting 3 years.
Yeah. Have you ever seen a celebrity couple before?
Never. Never. Never on this pop culture podcast. Yeah, some celebrities last like 10, 15 years. It's not like that crazy.
And you think they're one of them?
I think that it's very possible that they are one of them, yes. Because looking at like the whole situation and their chemistry and their family vibes and where they each are and what they want, like it's going to take a bit for those to like unsync.
Yeah, and they're the same age, too. So the timing.
They are. They're same age as me and Sammy, too.
Yeah.
And we're still together. You and I.
Our relationship is longer than Taylor and Travis's.
It is right now.
Yeah. I mean, maybe we should go on like a double date or something. You know, us and Avi has already said that we have permission. I have permission. We have given ourselves permission to swing with Taylor and Travis. If the opportunity ever arises, and also either switching genders as well. I've, you know, made sure of that. So that's the plan in this house.
Good to know.
Our mutual
I'm glad
passes.
You guys have prepared for that very likely scenario.
Just letting everyone know that is those should I include that in the podcast? I don't know.
Why not? Sure.
Yeah, why not? We're very honest.
I'm sure a lot of people would agree and like
that too. We've already established it. Avi's very hopeful that it'll happen.
Okay. Well, excited for Taylor. Congrats. She's joined a big list of very important people. Time Person of the Year.
Adolf Hitler.
Bill Clinton. I don't know. There's some good and some bad. Apparently Time says that the person of the year isn't like the best person of the year. It's the person who has had the largest impact on like the conversation that year. So it's not, doesn't mean positive, it doesn't mean negative. It just means like who is like the force of the year. And I would agree. Taylor is the force of the year.
Here's the thing. It has kind of a connotation that it's better. It's like positive.
I mean, it's like if relevance is positive, then yes, it's like you are the most relevant person of this year.
But also terrible.
Oh, totally. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. But like you probably don't think you're terrible.
Right. Typically.
Wasn't Trump the person of the year too?
Trump was person of the year 2016.
Yeah, he was the person of that year.
Obama's been the person of the year. She's been like, she's joined the ranks of.
She also was a part of there. I think it was 2017 when Time's Up, like the Me Too movement was the person of the year. And I know she was in the cover story, Taylor. Like she was on the front with a few other celebrity female celebs that came forward and.
Giuliani has been the person of the year.
He was our graduation speaker.
George Bush. Yeah,
so
it feels
like a lot of presidents.
Putin, 2007. Zuckerberg, 2010.
Makes sense.
Okay, well, he commented on our Betch of the Year thing. Right, so that's very influential.
Yeah, sometimes it's a group. The Ebola fighters got it in 2014.
Guys, we all got it 1 year. I don't know what
That's
year.
That's true.
But
We've
we
all
did.
Already been here. So, like, you know, well, yeah. Where's our interview?
Yeah. Where's Matches. The. Yeah, I want an interview.
Joe Biden and Kamala had to share it in 2020.
Damn.
Damn. And Elon Musk, 2021. There, again, I don't think anyone got a photo shoot like to the extent that Taylor did. So she's killing it.
This is a great photo shoot.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves thin, especially with social gatherings picking up after the winter. What's the right amount of socializing for you? And how do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people, or maybe you just need some more alone time. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. I've been in therapy for years, and nothing has transformed my life quite as much as my therapy experience. And one of the things that I love about therapy is that it gives me all the tools I need to figure out how to manage my time, and also figuring out what depletes me, what gives me energy. Sometimes too much socializing depletes me, so I've learned how to manage the amount of time that I'm going out versus staying in, the amount of new people I'm meeting versus making sure I have that me time for myself, and that's definitely a skill that I've honed in therapy. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/betches today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/betches. Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card? With 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Did you see that Sebastian Stan, Jordana, who's been on the What podcast, is playing Donald Trump in a film about The Apprentice?
I saw that. I'm looking forward to that. Big fan of Sebastian Stan. He was a guest on the UP podcast. He was so nice. Such a funny, nice guy. And I think he's a great actor. Also,
I am so excited. So apparently it's called The Apprentice, but it's actually more about Trump's rise in New York City in business in the 70s and 80s. And Jeremy Strong is going to be playing his lawyer and fixer, Roy Cohn. Maria Bakalova is going to play Ivana. I'm really, really, really excited for that. I want it to come out now.
Okay. And Kim Kardashian is playing a divorce lawyer in Ryan Murphy's Hulu legal drama. And I am a little annoyed. I don't know. I don't feel like anyone needs this.
I see that. You know, Kim needs this.
Kim needs this because she's done everything else. But
Hulu
I hope
needs it.
I kind of hope it's terrible.
Me too. I hope it gets panned to the fucking moon.
Yeah. I just really I don't want to see any more Kim Kardashian doing things that she shouldn't be doing, like acting.
She's also playing a divorce lawyer who leads an all-female law firm in LA, which sounds a discrimination case, possibly.
Unless it's really making fun of her the whole show, then maybe.
We'll see. I guess we'll see.
And I bet you Northwest gets the starring role right next to her.
Right as the kid who is the subject of a custody battle. I hate when Kim tries to be Olivia Pope-esque. It's
I know.
Just shut the fuck up.
Right.
Just shut up.
She wants to have it all.
I don't
want to
sound so aggressive.
Thing.
Right. Right. It's
you cannot be every different thing. You're not going to be the person that we all think of as the big activist Olivia
Pope. She
wants
to be that
person
so badly.
Just go away. You are what you are. You're fine at it.
Or be the other thing. Stop being the other, one thing and become the other thing.
She's kind of the opinion that if you have enough money, you can buy whatever you want to be that week.
I mean, that is not proven untrue.
Yeah. But I don't really believe
I don't respect it authentically.
So I hope she just goes away.
Yeah, I don't respect it either. But you know what I am excited for?
What?
Ariana Madix playing Roxy Hart in Chicago on Broadway. I'm very, very excited. I hope that that is not a cursed role or something, because Erika Jayne was supposed to play that.
I saw that. I was like, is this the role they reserve for Bravo celebrities? That
maybe.
You know, that. No, because Erika Jayne was I feel the big, when she was playing that part, or when she got that role, she was kind of one of the more exciting people on Bravo at the time.
Agreed.
So maybe they do leave that role open for this kind of person. And I mean, they do that because these people draw people to the show. So it's not necessarily that they are the most talented people on Broadway. It's good marketing.
I'm going to go see it. And also, she's on Dancing with the Stars. So it's not like she has no talent. You know, like she has no...
That's true.
She does have... It's not her first rodeo. I love Chicago. I'm so excited.
I would see Chicago on Broadway. I like the movie. I haven't seen any... I haven't seen the Broadway show.
Me either. But I'm gonna.
Can we talk about... I don't know why I like really wanted to talk about this Hugh Grant thing where he gave this interview. I don't know what's wrong with Hugh Grant. I feel like he's just been like in a really bad mood for like 6 years. Do you remember when he had that interview where he was like rude to the reporter because he was just over it?
Yes. And I don't remember what he said, but I remember it. Yeah.
Yeah. And then he gives this interview. Let me see. Who is the interview with? Yeah. He gives this interview with Metro UK where he decides to be like super honest about this Oompa Loompa role that he's been given. He basically just keeps talking shit about it. He says he was wearing a crown of thorns because the camera was around his head and it was super uncomfortable. He said, I couldn't have hated the whole thing more. Someone asked if the ends justified the means and he said, not really. And then he said, it's nothing personal against Wonka and the director. He said, I slightly hate making films, but I have lots of children and I need money. So, I'm just wondering like how this day went that like Hugh Grant's publicist is like, I've got a, it's not like it was like an opportunity he couldn't pass up. It's the New York Times, the Washington Post, or like, I've got this interview that you can pass up. I think you should go in and just say whatever the fuck you're thinking.
I wonder what I'm curious about is what that conversation was like after. Like maybe he's trying to get forced to stop doing this. I've heard that he's hated acting for years. Like I remember being in middle school. I remember him saying like when we were really young, like knowing that he hated acting. It's like, why don't you stop?
I mean, he's pretty good. I'm a fan of Hugh Grant's movies.
I like that
he's got a vibe.
I like that he hates it.
It's just so funny because it's just like, doesn't he have a publicist who was just like, just don't say that? Like, just don't say
that. You think his publicist does?
With Metro was like, UK? Like, why are you even doing this interview?
I feel like Metro UK is one of those like very widely circulated things, if not that prestigious.
Okay. But
so it's probably one of those things where he had to contractually do some press for the film, if I'm just guessing.
He was probably having like a bad morning and he was like, oh, this role, it was super uncomfortable to do this role. I did not want to do it at all. I didn't want to play an Oompa Loompa and have to dance on the screen.
Dance monkey.
And I just did it for the money. I mean, who would ever say publicly that they just did anything for the money? When they're a professional, so you're a professional actor.
Can we?
It's crazy. Like,
I don't know. I love it. Can we call him for comment or something? I would love to hear. He doesn't have to act with us. He can be himself.
Yeah, I would love to get Hugh Grant on the show. He can say whatever he wants. I mean, I think he knows he can say whatever he wants in any of these things. But the fact that just because he can say whatever he wants doesn't mean he should.
No, I like him more because of this.
Yeah.
Maybe this is like the new strategy.
I need the money. I mean,
here's the thing. If he had said that in like 2021.
This is definitely a pretty big paying role.
Well, let's try to find that out. It's definitely not less than $1 million.
Oh,
How much screen time did he have? Was he like a big role?
I don't know. I haven't seen the movie yet.
Was he one Oompa Loompa or like the main one or like.
I mean, if you Google Hugh Grant's net worth, the first. I mean, I don't know if these are accurate, but it says he's worth 150 million. He doesn't like. Need the money.
He's expensive for these kids. First of all, that is never accurate. And second of all, he probably has really high expenses because of his lifestyle, if I'm guessing.
Right. He has a lot of, I think, children with a lot of different women. So I think he pays a lot of child support.
Oh, I didn't know that. Oh, I understand. Yeah. So he should have, you know, if he were really being honest, he would say, I have a lot of ex-wives and need money.
That's really the more accurate statement. So he was even toning himself down,
you could argue. Okay, I feel like maybe this is a harbinger of the fact that like people are about to just let it fly in public. Like if he had said this in 2020, I feel like he would have gotten canceled to the moon because people would have been like, you don't need money, you're insensitive. And now I'm like, this is so fucking, it's so ridiculous that I'm like, this is funny.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's kind of like the world is at a DGAF kind of vibe right now.
Yeah.
No one gives a fuck about anything.
Right. That's kind of how it feels. Like he doesn't care about being sensitive or preserving his reputation. And I kind of like it.
Where was he rude to the person interviewing him? Was that the Oscars?
He said something like about the movie he was in.
It was Ashley Graham. Or she interviewed him.
He was rude to her. She interviewed him. He was kind of rude to her.
Yes.
She asked him about the movie and he like didn't want to talk about it.
Right. He hates making movies. At the Oscars. I mean, here's the thing. He's like, I don't like acting. I don't want to talk about acting. I'm doing the movies, but I don't want to talk about it. I'll do it.
He's ultimately harmless. That's the thing. He doesn't have any power. So the fact that he's acting like a dick is kind of okay to me. All he's really doing is like taking roles from someone who could have them.
There is something a little bit refreshing about it. I will give you that.
Yeah. As long as he does, I don't find out he like is really, really bad to people like in other circumstances.
I mean, he's probably a big D-bag, but like whatever.
But being a D-bag is different than like being legitimately abusive or...
I think he had two different... Who was it that... Was it him that had two different kids with two different women at the same time?
Did he?
I don't know. That might have been someone else. I don't want to start any...
Hugo John Mungo Grant.
They did. He has... Two of his exes got pregnant months apart. With two of his kids. So they're one of them is born 3 months after the other. So we have a lot of kids. And I would imagine, due to that story, a lot of women that he's been with that don't like him very much.
Who are the exes?
No one that I like know who they are.
Like really like random people?
Does he have kids with Elizabeth Hurley? No.
I'm looking at his Wikipedia. Robert Downey Jr. revealed that he and Grant did not get along during filming Restoration. Downey said, I kind of think he's a jerk. Don't know. I just think he is. My personal experience with him is I think he's this kind of self-important, kind of like boring, flash in the pan, asshole Brit. And then Grant said, Downey hated me. He took one look at me and he wanted to kill me. I was so hurt. They made amends on Twitter.
So he has five kids and Elizabeth Hurley told, like announced the birth of his most recent kid on Watch What Happens Live. And she said he was over 50 when he had all of them, which is very funny.
He's married to someone named Anna Elizabeth Eberstein.
Yes. But he had a baby with the ex-girlfriend, I think, before that.
Not Elizabeth Hurley. Okay.
Anyway, Hugh Grant, please come on the show.
I mean, he definitely doesn't want to talk to us.
Ready to redefine your relationship with alcohol? Whether you're trying to cut back or just want to explore a non-alcoholic alternative, Athletic Brewing is a game changer. They offer a variety of different full-flavored brews with no alcohol, allowing you to sip and celebrate anytime and anywhere. Do you like hazy IPAs, sweet, fruity sours? Athletic Brewing has an assortment of non-alcoholic beers in almost any style you can think of. One thing I really like is a great Sunday brunch. And sometimes, you know, you kind of want to have a drink during it. But also it's Sunday and you kind of want to get your life together. That's the perfect occasion to have an Athletic Brew non-alcoholic beer. Athletic brews a variety of great tasting, award-winning non-alcoholic beers, including IPAs, Goldens, extra dark brews, sours, hazies, and more. Many of which are only available online and for a limited time. They offer hassle-free delivery right to your door when you order at athleticbrewing.com. Athletic Brews Bevs you can drink anytime, anywhere, and still go right back to whatever you were doing. It's a great fit for parenting, playing sports, watching sports, doing chores, late nights, and early mornings, so you can imbibe without worry. And when you support Athletic, you support a company that cares. They're a certified B Corp and donate up to $2 million annually to protect and restore outdoor spaces around the globe through the Two for the Trails program. Try Athletic Brewing non-alcoholic beers for yourself. Use code BETCHES to get 15% off your first order at athleticbrewing.com. That's BETCHES. At checkout for 15% off your first order. Near beer. Exclusions and conditions apply. Athletic Brewing Company. Fit for all times.
And lastly, do you want to talk about May, December?
Yeah. What did you think?
It was very well done. Great acting. Like the Oscar winner for sure, or at least nominee.
I think you have to watch it. I watched it twice. Because
watch it again?
You have to, yeah. Watch it again. And I think you'll get it. Because okay, spoiler alerts from now on. I almost realized I was like, I didn't know what to look for.
Okay, that's a good point. Yeah, I should watch it again.
You should watch it again because it'll come across differently. Because, okay, I think the biggest reveal is at the end, did you get at the end that she was really doing this for like a shitty Lifetime movie?
Oh, was that like a big part of it?
That was kind of the point. Like, or at least the point from Natalie.
I thought she was like super famous, like A-list celebrity.
She was, but like, it's like Lindsay Lohan. I don't know if it's like that, but it's, that was kind of the twist that like, you think Natalie Portman's this like really serious Oscar nominated actress, and she's actually kind of just this like almost trashy Lifetime, making this like trashy Lifetime movie that's exactly the same as a past movie.
What made you think it was a Lifetime movie besides the fact that the acting,
the way it
weird.
Was filmed, like the way it was filmed, and how it also, like, at one point they show someone watching an already made movie about this story in the movie, and right. It looks exactly,
but I thought that
like
was mean,
it.
Like the previous movie was like a Lifetime movie, and this movie right. was like the serious version.
Right, but she's lying, or she's pretending that that's the case, but it's also just a shitty Lifetime movie. So it's like Natalie Portman takes herself like so seriously. She was like, comes okay. in and like fucks with these people's lives so she could be in like a shitty Lifetime movie, but she's treating it like she's very important, very serious. But they have clues to the fact that it's like she's a trashy actress, where they like, everyone's talking about like her nude scenes, and she kind of says like, I don't get to like pick my roles really.
Right.
Like the idea was that like Natalie Portman is also manipulative in a similar way.
I mean, of
also
course.
Also manipulative.
Of course.
But for,
yeah.
That but also destroying obvious. Lives. Like not, I mean, also messing up lives through her manipulations just in a different right. way.
I guess Julianne Moore's character is a little more obvious in how messed up she is.
Yes. But yeah. What did you like find the most fascinating part about it?
The person who played the guy, like the husband, I forgot his name in the movie.
Joe.
Yeah. I thought he had like kind of like a, he didn't say much, but he had like a subtle, really good way of acting, and, you know, kind of really drew himself as a very sympathetic character, even though obviously he is like the more sympathetic character in the movie.
I felt like the whole idea of him was like, he's this, he never grew to be an adult. And this, throughout the movie, he's kind of becoming one. He's realizing what really happened right. to him.
Yeah, but I'm saying he was like good at doing that in a sort of more subtle way.
Yeah, I thought he was maybe the best acting.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Do you know it's based on a real story?
Julianne Moore was good too, although she's just like so famous, it's hard to like see her as this person.
I thought she really did a great job transforming. Do you know this is based on like a real story?
Yeah. I read up all about that story.
Oh, you did? I didn't read up enough about it, but I just thought this was so interesting.
Minus the part about the actress, like the whole thing sort of is really based on that story. Like she did marry the student. And then
so fucking crazy.
They did get separated like right before she died. I think because he became like sort of more aware after they were together for like 25 years, what, you know, that it was messed up. Like that part kind of is true.
Right. I mean, that would be the only way to get out, just to realize.
Yeah.
It's so wild, like to get out and you realize like your whole life has been this weird.
Yeah.
Crazy thing.
It's hard to even comment on this movie because it's good. It's easier to comment on shitty movies. But guys, check it out. One more note on the Hugh Grant thing. Holly says that he got a paycheck of $10 million for the Wonka role. I would do that too. I'm surprised there's no like non-disparagement clause in a contract that you have to sign when you're getting paid $10 million to do a role.
He didn't disparage the movie. He didn't disparage the movie. He said there's nothing against the franchise. He says, I hate making movies.
They said, was it worth it?
I need money.
He said, not really.
Here's the thing. Like, if that's not worth $10 million, like, you're kind of fucked up. Like, what's wrong with you?
I think he means, like, did it come out well? Like,
No, I think he means, like, was it worth the money
him? Oh. Yeah, I guess.
Well, he made more than Timothée, who was the lead.
Holly said some reports also said that his salary was more than Timothée.
I mean, and he is older,
who was
more experienced.
I know, but he's not the lead,
right? But he's more experienced, more years,
I guess.
He is a big name. He is like a marquee
name. And he was probably like, I don't really want to play a Oompa Loompa.
Like, I need 1 million.
I need 1 million to be the Oompa Loompa.
You know what I mean? There is probably a sense of like, I don't like, this role is a little demeaning to me at this point in my career. Like, I don't really want to play an Oompa Loompa. But they were like, $10 million. He's like, okay,
fine. The Oompa Loompa premium.
Give me the hat. Like, yeah. Give me the face paint. Whatever. I'll do it.
Fuck this. Okay, we also have confirmation that he actually cheated on Elizabeth Hurley after 8 years with a hooker.
I remember that.
Is that the socially conscious term?
I think it's a sex worker.
Yeah.
I think it's sex worker these days.
I'm reading the chat. It is. He shares a son and daughter with his ex, Tinglin Hong, and he has 3 kids with his current wife, Anna Eberstein. So he's still married.
Yeah, he's got a lot of young kids. So I guess he needs to put them through college.
He only has one ex to be paying child support,
I guess. But again, the ex and his current wife had kids within 3 months of each other.
Yeah, no, that's, but she's still,
and he is 63 years old.
He's almost eligible. He doesn't have that many social security.
Well, I can also see he probably didn't have kids until his 50s. He probably spent all the money he made until then. Probably spends wildly. And I guess he was with a sex worker. I'm sure he's dabbled in other things that maybe, I don't know.
I don't know his spending habits, but this does suggest they weren't conservative.
I'm sure they're not the purest. So he's probably been spending all the money that he's made. Now he's 50. He's got 5 kids that he's had within the past 13 years. And he's like, okay, I need to make more money because I already spent it all. And I have, these kids are going to need money for me for a while. And I'm 63. So I don't have that many more working years. So
right.
Oompa Loompa roll, here I come.
Right. He also doesn't have that much time for his money to compound. He needs this $10 million right now.
I think we can end there.
Yeah. Should we send anyone to the Cayman Islands? Hugh Grant, maybe?
Yeah, let's send Hugh Grant to the Cayman Islands because I just want to hear him complain about it.
Yeah, same. Maybe he would enjoy that more than being in movies. No,
I don't think so. I wonder what he would enjoy. Like, what is his dream? What, Hugh Grant, what is your dream job?
Right, I'm very curious. Maybe that would be a question we'd ask him.
That would be, yeah. He can launch something new.
He should go on Hot Ones and answer that.
And I just found out what that is. So, big day for everyone here at the AdBetches podcast. Thank you guys for listening. Rate, review, and subscribe. And we'll see you next week on this show.
The AdBetches podcast.
At Betches is produced by Sean Kilby and Holly Wilkinson. Editing by Jazz Zapatos and Shannon Sassone. Be sure to follow At Betches on Instagram and send us your emails to podcast@betches.com.
Betches.